Phil Plait's in the studio with me this afternoon. You've heard Phil on this show many times before. I refer to him as the Bad Astronomer because that's what he calls his website and his blog. Several years ago, he wrote a book called Bad Astronomy, Misconceptions and Misuses Revealed from Astrology to the Moon Landing Hoax. First time Phil and I ever chatted on the air was after Fox put that ridiculous special on the air several years ago about how we hadn't gone to the moon and here are the reasons why, and Phil debunked every single one of them, brilliantly, I might add.
Oh, of course.
And now he's in town for a meeting of the American Academy for the Advancement of Science, a big convention of scientists that's going on at America Center all through the weekend, but I stole him away for a little while to join me here on KMOX, and welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Welcome. Now, before we get into any of that other stuff, we have to talk about something you've been talking about on your blog recently.
Yes.
About a man named George Deutsch and an organization named NASA and the squelching of science. Is that a good way to put it, do you think?
I think so. It's an interesting story, actually. NASA is supposed to be putting out good science, and they're supposed to take the data as it comes in, analyze it, and discuss the results as openly as possible. And I think NASA does a pretty good job about that, but there may be individuals inside of any organization of that size that are going to, they're going to spoil the milk a little bit, and I think that's what we had here.
Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about good science, people think of NASA, they think of, oh yeah, they're the ones who put men up in space and women up in space, and that's all most people know them for, maybe a little bit about the Hubble telescope and other things, but NASA's doing good science on a daily basis?
NASA does all sorts of science. It's actually the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and they do a lot of aeronautics research as well to make airplanes safer, to understand how the Earth's atmosphere works. And they have satellites like Hubble, which of course look outward into space, but they also have satellites which look down, Earth-observing satellites, and they track, for example, what's happening on the planet, where water is flowing, how the ice is behaving in the polar caps, all sorts of things like that. Pollution content, just a million things. Everything you can think of that would affect the surface of the Earth and the atmosphere and the water. And that's where this story gets really interesting, because basically this guy, George Deutsch, was one of a few public affairs officers who are appointed to this position. Now, NASA has hundreds of public affairs officers, and these are people who are sort of in between the scientists and the public. Their job is to prepare press releases, to organize people to come on the radio, for example, or television or whatever. And the scientists work with them to make sure that the press releases are accurate and all of that sort of thing. And what happened was we found out that one scientist, whose name is Jim Hansen, he is an Earth scientist, and he was studying global warming, what a lot of people call climate change, which I think is funny because climate change sounds very innocuous, whereas global warming is pretty much hitting the nail on the head.
We had climate change here yesterday. It was 60 in the morning, and it was 25 in the afternoon, and we had hailstorms after a sunny morning. That, to me, is climate change. That's not the same as global warming.
I experienced that as well flying from California. It was about 72 when I left and about 20 yesterday when I got into St. Louis,
yeah.
And I was reminded of why I moved to California. But what Hansen is seeing is that things are changing. He just had an editorial actually in a British newspaper talking about how the Greenland ice flows are flowing, which is not what flows are supposed to do necessarily. They're supposed to stay frozen.
FLOE, not
yes,
FLOW.
Exactly, and so this is happening at an accelerated rate, faster than they thought. And he's had a lot of experience in this sort of thing. He's been doing this for many, many years. What he found is that one of the public affairs officers, this is according to Hansen, but he has evidence to back this up, one of these guys was stopping him from saying what he felt he needed to say. And it turns out this guy was a very young man named George Deutsch, 24 years old, who was basically a political appointee. This guy had no scientific background, no experience in public affairs, no experience in any of the science that he was dealing with. Now, in itself, that may not be such a terrible thing, but he was abusing his position in most people's opinion that you hear about, scientists' opinions, because he was stopping people from saying what they felt they should say.
Let me just inject one thing. It would be okay to be in that position if you didn't know about science, but you still helped the scientists disseminate their information to the public, to the press, and to the rest of the world, if that were your job. But he was going much further than that.
Exactly. You can imagine on the application for this, when they would announce a job position like this, they might say, science knowledge is a plus, mm-hmm. but not necessarily necessary. It's In my opinion, I think that they should have a lot of science background. They may not always, and that happens. That's just, you know, part of the job. And, and eventually you learn on the job, I would think. But what happened was Hansen felt that his stuff was being squelched, suppressed, distorted in some cases. And so he went public with this and talked to a New York Times reporter who broke this story. What was interesting is that, well, I started blogging about it on my blog, and I wasn't really saying a whole lot new. I was mostly just venting. But another blogger went out and researched this guy, and turns out that Deutsch graduated, or claimed he graduated, from Texas A&M University, when in fact he hadn't. And his resume said he had graduated, and when that information came out, he resigned. And then he went on a radio show the next day, or a couple of days later, saying, "I felt terrible about the way NASA and I were being treated." And I went over all the articles that I had read, including what I had said, and I thought, you know, NASA's not being treated too badly here. It's this guy who's getting treated badly. But, you know, it's kind of like he did everything but pull the trigger. He pointed the gun right at his own head. He just wasn't, I guess, good enough at this to keep his head low. He made a lot of waves, and he got noticed.
Now, what was it that he was doing that Hansen claims and that the people at NASA were upset about that Deutsch was doing that was getting information either wrong or changing it before it was being disseminated?
It's claimed that it's policy, and I don't know this for a fact, but you know, it's certainly possible that you don't refer to it as global warming, for example. That's the joke I made earlier, that you call it climate change. That might be a minor thing, but for example, Hansen was trying to get gigs on radio shows, specifically NPR, one NPR show, but Deutsch wouldn't let him. And evidently, another person at NASA, who does not have this written down but had a conversation with Deutsch, said that Deutsch called it the most liberal radio show out there. Now, that necessarily wouldn't be that critical, except that Deutsch was a political appointee. He worked in the quote-unquote war room with Bush and Cheney in the 2004 election. And it's typical for political appointees, and this has been true for decades, it's not necessarily a conservative or liberal thing, that somebody who helps you, you help them, quid pro quo. And so, you know, you get the ambassadorship to Bermuda or some other cushy position. In this case, someone with no experience was given a position where he was really unqualified and actually could make trouble.
So was it that Hansen wanted to say things about global warming that were not politically correct?
That is certainly what Hansen is saying. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like what Hansen is saying is so outrageous. It just happens to go against the administration's policy of what's going on. Now, that's not the only thing Deutsch did. That was very upsetting to me. But what hit home is that he talked to another NASA scientist who was putting together a website about the Big Bang, and Deutsch said you have to add the word theory every time you mention Big Bang. Now, you see, this is a real hot-button thing here with me. A scientific theory, people think that's just sort of a guess. It's just a theory, like of evolution.
That's because in common parlance, a theory is, well, you know, I've got a theory about what might happen this weekend.
That's exactly right.
It's just a wild guess, or sometimes an educated guess.
Right.
But a scientific theory is different, isn't it?
It's very different. What a layperson, if you want to say, would call a theory, a scientist would call a hypothesis or even a conjecture. It's just an idea. A theory is a hypothesis that has undergone so many tests that it's just accepted as being true. At least that's the way you operate. And if you find something that goes against it, then you have to worry about it then. But when you're talking about the theory of evolution, for example, scientists think of that as a rock-solid fact. And it's extremely well shown that this is just the way the universe works. Just like the theory of gravity, for example. It's not a theory like people say. It's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And the Big Bang is another one of these things where it has withstood a huge number of tests that could have falsified it, that could have come along and said, you know what, the Big Bang predicts this, we see that, therefore the Big Bang is wrong. And so far that hasn't happened. It's had to be modified, but most good theories do have to be modified along the way. Even the theory of relativity has to be modified. But again, relativity is another one of these just rock-solid bases of science. And so to call it a theory is to say, we get it. This thing works.
All right. Well, then what's the problem with George Deutsch saying, add the word theory after Big Bang?
I'm glad you asked that, Paul.
Thank you. It's my job.
Yes. In fact, saying something is a theory is fine, but it was the reasons behind it. George Deutsch sent an email to to the scientist involved with the Big Bang, saying that basically it is not NASA's position to tell people that intelligent design is not true. And therefore, you have to call Big Bang a theory. So here we have the public affairs officer, one public affairs officer of NASA, who misunderstands what a theory means and is trying to inject his own narrow religious viewpoint on NASA science. Now, I have, 40 or 50,000 problems with that, not the least of which is the constitutional aspects of this, but also because this can't happen. You can't have somebody's religious opinion throttling science. It's just not the way science works. Science works by investigation, by observation, and by using the best analyses you have possible. That's not what was going on, and that's not what it seems George Deutsch wanted the public to hear.
And by the way, when it comes to evolution and intelligent design or creationism, there's a guy from the Vatican who's actually speaking at this event, the scientist convention that you're part of this weekend, who's here in town this weekend talking about how, evolution is right.
I didn't know there was someone here from the Vatican.
Oh, yeah.
I know this is a big hot topic here at this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The AAAS, as we say, the American Association for the Advancement of Science. There are a lot of folks here, many, many thousands, probably 7,000 or 8,000, but I haven't heard a head count yet.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several sessions. There were two running this morning. I went to one. And it was pretty interesting. And there are more coming. I'm on a panel tomorrow called Science Under Attack, and we will be tackling evolution. Jeannie Scott is here from the National Center for Science Education, an old friend of mine. And I'll be talking about what's going on in NASA right now as well.
Probably a lot of people there happy with the judge in Dover, Pennsylvania, with his ruling a few weeks ago.
I was thrilled.
Yeah.
Judge Jones wrote a 139-page document, something of that order. It was huge. He actually called intelligent design breathtaking in its inanity, which I laughed out loud when I read it. And he said, many people will dismiss this as the work of an activist judge, but I assure you it is not. In fact, the activists are the other ones, the other side of this. And he is evidently a Republican and a religious man. And the attack on science here is not something that all people of one party, for example, the Republican Party, which is what this is mostly associated with, just to be honest, not every Republican feels this way.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly not every Democrat does.
All right. But getting back to George Deutsch and
sure.
NASA, is that just one of a long line of examples of things that he did wrong? Or are they just a couple that we know of, and maybe after digging deeper into what went on there at NASA, we'll discover others?
I don't want to say this is the tip of the iceberg, because that implies there's a huge amount of suppression going on. But it does seem that this is one example of other things that are happening. When Hansen talked to the New York Times reporter about this, and the story was broken a couple of weeks ago, a whole lot of other NASA scientists came forth, and they also had documented evidence of being suppressed. Now, whether this was all coming from George Deutsch or from other public affairs officers or other political appointees, I don't know.
Yeah, that was my next question. Are there
right.
others who have been put in that position who are acting like George Deutsch, but they haven't been caught because they actually did graduate college?
You're right. I don't think the graduating college has anything to do with this. In fact, that plays a key role, because that's why he resigned, or at least that's sort of the obvious reason why he resigned. There may have been political pressure for him to resign. I don't know. That's just speculation. People with more experience and older and wiser heads may not have made such a ruckus as he did. I don't know what else is going on. There are stories breaking every day. There was a New York Times article that came out either last night or the night before saying that this is happening in other places. I've heard from friends of mine, not necessarily NASA scientists, but contractors, just scientists in general, who've been scratching their heads over why certain things have been released to the press in certain ways. And they're kind of going, aha. And I don't know. I don't know if you can connect the dots that easily. But there are reporters out there doing this. It's good to see journalists doing journalism again and actually digging some stuff up.
Yeah. When people are in there putting spin on science, that's not a good thing. And we'll talk more about this and other things with Phil Plate, whose website is badastronomy.com. It's the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. In the studio today with Phil Plate, the bad astronomer. He's actually a pretty good astronomer, Sonoma State University in California. He's in town here in St. Louis for the American Academy for the Advancement of Science Convention. 7,000 or 8,000 scientists are in our town meeting at America Center. Phil and I were together actually, 3 weeks ago in Vegas?
Yeah.
For the James Randi amazing meeting. And unfortunately, a few days later, we heard that Randi had had a heart attack and had to have bypass surgery. Have you heard anything about his condition?
The latest news yesterday is that he's doing really, really well. He's been awake, and he's had a little bit of attrition in his muscles, but they'll exercise him, and they expect a full recovery.
Good.
He'll be as curmudgeonly and gnome-like as ever.
Yeah.
James Randi is a magician. He's probably best known in the 1970s for debunking Spoonbender Uri Geller. But he's done a lot of things. He was on Happy Days, in fact.
I talked to him about that on the show one day, and he talked all about how he had to teach Henry Winkler how to do the trick
everything.
Yeah.
And my wife, that's how my wife heard about him, actually. I saw him on the Carson Show doing psychic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a great guy, runs this meeting every year, promotes critical thinking and skepticism, and we all love him and hope that he gets a full recovery here.
Yeah, I wrote to him and I said, you know, you got to pull through this because we need you.
That's right.
And we need more like you. Anyway, let's talk a little bit more about NASA. We were talking about problems there with George Deutsch, one of their public affairs guys who was a political appointee and let politics get in the way of science, which is never a good thing. Politics getting in the way of anything is a bad thing, in my view. But you don't work for NASA, although you get some money from NASA. We want to make that absolutely clear here today also. What's the status of NASA these days? Are we going to get a space shuttle up this year?
I think it's scheduled to go up later on this year. It's a funny situation. The budget was just released for this year, and as we expected, most of the money is going to go into this new exploration vision, which was George Bush and the NASA administrator came together and they discussed how we're going to get back to the moon. That was the new push. NASA, I don't want to say it's been directionless for a long time, but the big goals have been missing. And, you know, going to the moon, building a real space station. And now the talk is going back to the moon. And I'm all for this. I think we should go back to the moon. There are a lot of reasons there. The science, the exploration. There's money to be made on the moon. I think private industry going to the moon would be a wonderful idea. Energy generation, minerals, tourism, just even tourism. It'd be wonderful. And I think NASA should be paving the way. I think what a lot of astronomers see the problem is that a lot of the money, and by a lot of the money, I mean a lot of the money, has been taken away from science and put into this what's called the Exploration Initiative. And so a lot of missions have been outright cut or slashed quite seriously. I know of many missions that are being tabled indefinitely, which is basically NASA speak for canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Many other ones,
scientific missions rather than big... Put them on TV, manned space missions.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of scientific missions that the public probably wouldn't have heard about, although some of them would have been interesting missions to look at X-ray sources in the sky and infrared sources in the sky. The Astrobiology Institute is being slashed, I believe, by 50%. This is a group of people who are trying to discover the conditions for life on other planets. And so they study biology and chemistry. It's a real smorgasbord of science that they're doing, and that's getting hit.
But let me ask you about this, because funding is always a problem.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to government funding, which is really our money, taxpayer money.
Sure thing.
It's the important thing to remember that it's not like the government's in business. They get that money from us and our tax dollars. There's that great line from The Right Stuff, "No bucks, no Buck Rogers."
Right.
But they also talk about the public relations aspect of, you know, you put a man on the moon, America cheered that whole effort through the 60s and all the way up till 1972, Apollo 17, our last moon mission.
Right.
Those sort of things got Americans on board. The space shuttle missions got Americans on board. Even Skylab, to a certain extent, got people on board in the late 70s before it crashed into Australia. But all of those things helped NASA improve its appeal to the public, which probably made politicians in Washington say, yeah, give them more money because look at their, you know, Q ratings.
Right.
Their poll numbers are huge. Now, NASA doesn't have such good poll numbers. So maybe they need those big missions to make the other smaller missions happen.
That is possible, but you can't basically rob Peter to pay Paul. I think that NASA can do both. It's very irksome that President Bush would come out and say, I want us to go back to the moon, now do it on the same amount of money you've always had.
Mm.
So this is going to take more money. It just takes bucks to get into space. And to say, here's your budget, we're going to give you a paltry 1% raise, which isn't even inflation, and you're going to go to the moon on this, is really just absurd. And so NASA, you know, in the end, NASA had no choice. They say, this is the money we have. We're going to have to cut if we're going to go to the moon. And they're under pressure to do this from the administration. So The only, if you look at the NASA line items, if you look at the budget and you look at what science is being done, the science budget has actually increased marginally a little bit. But all of that money is going toward a repair mission for Hubble, well, servicing mission for Hubble via the space shuttle. And B, the successor for Hubble called the James Webb Space Telescope, which I'm not even sure when the launch date's supposed to be now. It slipped a couple of years, and it's running over budget. And so those two things, both of which I support, they're fantastic machines that will do incredible amounts of science, incredible amounts of astronomy, and broaden our horizons literally in science, because they'll be, you know, JWST will see farther than any other telescope of its kind will ever be able to. But these missions are costing so much money that it is starving out the other missions simply because the NASA budget wasn't increased. Now, it's hard to say, let's give them an extra $5 billion a year when we've got Katrina, we've got Iraq, we've got these other problems. On the other hand, you know, there was an unfunded mandate from the president. And I think that perhaps the president and Congress should follow through and say, here's the extra money. I don't think you should be cutting science to promote manned space. You can do both. And we should do both.
More with Phil Plait in just a moment as the Paul Harris Show continues. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX. The Paul Harris Show rolling along here on News Talk 1120 KMOX with Phil Plait. His book is still available. What do you think? There are about 1,000 copies left?
I have no idea, but something like that probably. Get them now while they're hot.
It's called Bad Astronomy. One of my favorite things is the way you open up the book by debunking all of these things that go on in science fiction movies that take place in space. And when things explode in space, they make far more noise than they would, which would be none.
None, yeah.
And all sorts of other things. That's a great opening chapter for the book, and there's lots of other stuff there, including his total debunking of the people who claim that we never went to the moon, people who would deny what to me is the greatest scientific achievement humankind has ever achieved, July 20th, 1969. And Phil writes brilliantly about that.
Thank you.
You can also read about him on his website, badastronomy.com, and read his Bad Astronomy blog there. And we're talking about NASA and space and space missions. And you mentioned private industry. And, you know, we all know about Burt Rutan and the $10 million X Prize that they got right here in St. Louis when they were able to put Spaceship One up above the 100-kilometer mark and get into space twice. What do you see as the future of private industry versus government-funded operations like NASA?
That's a really interesting question, and it's the answer to that is so much different now than it would have been 5 years ago. I bought into the idea that to get into space, to get to the moon, to do all these things, you needed the budget of a government. You need 100,000 people. You need billions of dollars. And I'm learning now, in fact, that's just not true. And that's a huge idea to have to give up, because it sure seems like it, simply because that's all we've ever seen. NASA is a huge bureaucracy with billions of dollars. The Soviet Union, now Russia, China, India, all of these groups who are putting up rockets, they're government funded. But then along comes private industry. And I don't mean Boeing or Hughes or any of those guys, which are, you know, huge government contractors. We're talking about small companies like SpaceX, like Burt Rutan's company, or the company he belongs to. There are actually quite a few of them. And they are putting up rockets. They are starting to, at least. SpaceX is an up-and-comer. They've had to scrub their launch a couple of times, but they're putting up, I think, a suborbital flight here in the next few days. It was they had to scrub a test a couple of weeks ago, but they're going to try to do it. And a lot of these companies, I think they're going to do it. They're going to be able to put up rockets. They'll be able to do it less than the government can do it for. And what will happen is the government will start buying space on these rockets to put up their satellites. And as the companies make more money off the government, eventually they will be able to lower the price of launching until, you know, you or I could afford it. Now, you know, probably not. You know, I don't have $10 million.
I don't know what kind of money there is in astronomy, but there isn't that much money in radio, I can tell you that.
Well, you know, if they need a writer to go up into space to describe what happens and to write copy for their commercials, you know, I am available. I am for hire. But, I think this can happen. I'm reading a book right now called Return to the Moon. It's a series of essays, and they're written by people who have experience in this. Some are ex-NASA. Some of them are involved in the space program, and many of them are private industry people. And, you know, you read this, and some of them are, some of them I don't necessarily agree with. in their detail, but in the general point they're making about companies going to space, I think they're onto something. And they're saying that the driver for this is going to be tourism. And I think that's right. People are signing up. The waiting list is a mile long, even with the prices they are now. Once these guys get into space and they get into orbit, people are going to pay big bucks to do it. And these companies are going to get rich, rich, rich.
And you'll be able to read a lot more about it on Phil's blog, which is at badastronomy.com. And pick up that Bad Astronomy book. I've got a link to the Amazon sales site of it on my website, harrisonline.com. And Phil's got to run over to America Center for the rest of the American Academy for the Advancement of Science meetings that are here in town this weekend. Thanks for your time today. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Phil Plait on the Paul Harris Show. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.